ahead and turn to the book of Philippians tonight, chapter number 4. Philippians chapter 4, and I apologize to the sound booth and to the whoever else might be looking at these notes, because what you have doesn't say Philippians 4, and what you have is not what we're going to talk about tonight, so how about that? But this is not something I do. I think maybe I've done this once since I've been here, but I usually, I don't know, something's been just on my mind. And then we sang the Haven of Rest tonight. Appreciate that song. I remember singing that song at Swannanoa, North Carolina, when I was a kid. We'd sing it in the choir, and I remember as a kid, I always thought, man, this song takes forever. That's what I thought. But now as an adult, it really hits home. You appreciate everything that it means and what it speaks to us. But Philippians chapter 4, I want to look at a thought here that I think probably we need to not stay too far away from in the day and age in which we live, especially for God's people. It's help for God's people. Paul was in jail when he wrote this. There's no doubt. I mean, you can imagine what would happen and how your thinking would be if someone, say Pastor Townsley, maybe, I don't know, maybe me, somebody got arrested that for preaching the gospel. It would kind of dampen your fervor maybe to preach the gospel. It might cause you to question, cause you to worry. And Paul wrote really to kind of get them to not do that. He wrote in verse chapter 1 to convince them to strive together, striving together, he said, for the faith of the gospel. And here in chapter 4, he deals with something, and he says in verse number 5, let your moderation be known unto all men, the Lord is at hand. And there's a lot there, I think, about how we live our lives, living it before the Lord, letting him set our priorities, letting him help us, letting him guide us. But then verse number 6, he says, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me do, and the God of peace shall be with you. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for how you have repeatedly, and I wouldn't be surprised if I've used this passage before, but how you've repeatedly ministered to my heart and soul through this passage of Scripture. And Lord, I pray that you would help us this evening to learn from it, to be strengthened by it. And we thank you for all that you do in Jesus' name. Amen. I want you to just walk through this passage this evening. First of all, you need to notice there's a stark contrast that is presented here. And this is where we need to start. Notice there in verse number 6, he says this, be careful for nothing. That the word careful there, it's very similar to a word anxious that we use. We might say, I'm anxious over this, or I am kind of encumbered with this, or I am overwhelmed with this. As a matter of fact, go ahead and hold your finger here, but turn to the book of Luke, chapter number 10. Luke chapter number 10 is the great story of Mary and Martha at the end of the chapter, verse number 38. It's a great story of Mary and Martha as they have a special guest coming to their house. Jesus is coming. What an event. What a guest to welcome into your home. What a great thing and a great memory that will be imposed upon that home and upon those that are there. And it says, now it came to pass as they went, verse 38 in Luke 10, that he entered into a village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, which sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Mary, and note the word here, was cumbered about much serving. and came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve me? And bid therefore that she help me. And Jesus said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful. Note, he says, remember Philippians 4, be careful for nothing. He says, thou art careful and troubled about many things. But one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her. You see, Mary and Martha here in a stark contrast. You see Mary sitting at Jesus' feet with the peace of God in her heart. And you see Martha cumbered, the Bible says, cumbered about much serving. And she complains about her sister, about where she's at, because the activity isn't what she thought it should be. Now, the activity was necessary. When I think about this, you think the Lord kind of divinely chose to give it to us in this way, because there are some holes here when you think of it. Somebody had to cook the food, right? Somebody had to take care of things. It wasn't that those things didn't need to be done, but Jesus saw through the activity and he saw the real problem. He said, Martha, you're careful about many things. You're troubled about many things. And when you look at how she's described here, cumbered about much serving, careful and troubled about many things, it paints a picture there in the language of it that she is, the word used to describe it is roiling within herself. And when you think of it, think of, if you've been out, and many people around here are familiar with the ocean and feel familiar with the Long Island Sound or what have you, and I've been out enough on some of the, you know, some bodies of water, even out around Cape Cod and all, to note that there are times even where the ocean itself, it looks like you could just skate across it. I mean, it's just glassy. And then there are times, and you can see it changing even in the color of it. It's not just the activity of it, but the very color of it takes on this slate gray looking color, and it starts to roil and it starts to roll around, and it's not as enjoyable to be there and to be a part of it. I remember we had the opportunity. Somebody took me and my boys out. We were out and they had some lobster pots that they tended to, just kind of as a hobby thing. And I remember my boys, they said, here, you want to get them on the hook? You know, here's the hook. Here's what you do. And I mean, it's boats, you know, doing this and this. He's hanging off the boat and I'm hanging on to him, making his mom probably doesn't know this, actually, now that I think of it, but it wasn't quite that, it wasn't that bad. But, but you know, it was roiling. And when you read in Luke chapter number 10 and you hear how Martha is described, you see Jesus, the activity was secondary. He saw the real problem. The real problem wasn't the turmoil on the outside. The problem was the turmoil that was on the inside. It was that everything had her so in so much upheaval that she missed the point of everything that was happening there. And Paul writes in Philippians chapter number 4, he says, be careful for nothing. He says, don't be anxious about anything. Don't let anything get you roiled within to where, in other words, as a believer, and he's talking to believers here, he's saying, you don't have to live that way. We need to remember that. We don't have to live that way. So when you deal with, it could be the news, it could be that just things that you are dealing with. Let's just face it. The more that our society and our culture moves away from God, the more just difficult people are going to be to deal with. But for a believer, you don't have to live in that careful, roiling state of anxiousness over things. Because, you know, we like to control things. We want to know the outcome. Well, you can't know the outcome. we like to be in charge of all the details. We can't always be in charge of all the details. And he says, be careful for nothing. But notice the stark contrast that is here. He says in verse number 7, he says, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. If you go down to verse number 9, he says, and the God of peace shall be with you. So there's a big contrast here between two aspects. There is the one who is careful, the one who is anxious, the one who is and he says in here, though, to be careful for nothing. There's not one thing, he said, that's worth living that way over. And the contrast of that is then that the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, can be with you. Now, he's talking to Christians. He's talking to people who've trusted Christ as Savior. You know why the lost world today is such a mess? It's because they know nothing of the peace of God, because they know nothing of the Lord Jesus Christ. But Paul, in talking to believers, says there's this contrast. You can live with the roiling anxiousness that can come from any particular thing. And he's expansive in this. He says, be careful for nothing. He said, there's not one thing where you should just excuse it and say, well, it's just what stresses me out. No, he says, for nothing. Don't be careful for anything. Don't carry that burden on anything. And instead, you can have the peace of God, which passeth all understanding. We sang that song, Haven of Rest. It reminded me of the book of Hebrews, chapter number six. You may want to turn there. Hebrews chapter number 6. In verse number 18, he says that by two immutable things, two unchangeable things, in which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us. He says we have a refuge. There's a refuge for those who have lay hold upon the hope set before us. Verse 19, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul. We're saying the haven of rest. Think about a place of anchor for a ship where it is, the storm might rage, but its anchor is solidly set and the ship cannot be moved, it cannot be broken apart. Which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which entereth into that within the veil, whether the forerunner is for us entered, even Jesus, made an high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. He's saying here, there is a hope that we have that is beyond anything that the world has to offer. He says that it is, of course, addressing the relationship of these Jews to the Lord Jesus Christ, to the Hebrews, to the Lord Jesus Christ. We have an anchor within the veil where they were not allowed to go. We are anchored there. Why? But we have this anchor, and who is it in? It's in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why we can sing about a haven of rest, because we have an anchor of the soul, and that anchor is anchored in the Lord Jesus Christ. So Paul presents these things in the book of Philippians, chapter number 4, in stark contrast. There is, first of all, that admonition, be careful for nothing. Does anything have you anxious about something this evening? Is there anything that you kind of dread, or you kind of there's fear about? I was going to preach this evening and might end up doing so Sunday evening. Now, out of 1 John chapter number 4, it talks about perfect love casteth out fear. You know, the Christian doesn't have to live a fearful life. Why? Because the Christian life is a life of hope. And that hope is twofold. It is eternal, and I'm so glad for that eternal hope, aren't you? Amen. I'm glad that today's the anniversary of my dad going to heaven. I'm glad for the eternal hope that we have, that we will see our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ again, and we'll also see our loved ones once again who've gone on before us. But the hope of a Christian is more than just an eternal hope. It's also a day-to-day hope. Amen. You know, if we boil it down to just an eternal hope, it becomes almost fatalistic sounding. Well, things aren't very good down here, but at least one day I'm going to die and go to heaven. How hopeful does that sound? Well, at least one, I'm just kind of hanging on to the very end until, you know, the trumpet sounds, and then the Lord will get me out of here. And listen, there are times where, you know, that looking forward to that is exactly what we need and all, but it's more than just that. You realize that for the believer, there's also hope for every day. You think about it, whether on the Christian's worst day, there is always something better ahead. But let me flip that around. You know, on the Christian's best day, there's always something better ahead. And so the Christian life is a life of hope that is anchored in the Lord Jesus Christ, so that the Apostle Paul in Philippians chapter 4, he can make such a bold statement and say, be careful for nothing. Don't be worried or fearful or full of anxiety over anything. You say, well, what about this? Nothing. And he said, for nothing. And instead, that anxiousness, that roiling within that Martha encountered, that all of that can be replaced with something that he calls the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, that can keep your heart and mind through life, Christ Jesus. That's what's available to the believer. A peace that no human can explain or make sense of. Yeah, we get to see it from time to time. You see it sometimes dramatically on display when there's a believer, a child of God, going through great and dire circumstances, and you might visit them in a hospital room, and they're there and they are not full of worry, but they're full of the peace of God. You say, how can anybody in that situation have the peace of God? You know, I've seen the clarity of the Word of God take situations like that and turn it from fear and anxiety and turn it to peace. I remember maybe about a year ago being asked to go to the hospital room of a dear lady who was dying, and she had a testimony of salvation, but she had no real assurance of salvation. And I went in the room. I'd never met her before, and I went in the room. I was asked to go there, and I sat down with her, and I just kind of, you know, opened it up, and she made it very clear. I'm concerned. I'm worried about what's going to happen. And she was full of anxiousness in a way about it. But we opened the Word of God and said, here's what the Bible says. And you know what? As we talked and she saw and understood the Scripture, the tone in her completely changed. It went from that to the peace of God that passeth all understanding. And so that's the contrast that he presents. But then I want you to notice the command that he gives. Look at this. This is how he doesn't just lay this out there as an untouchable, unattainable thing. He says, here's where it comes from. He says, be careful for nothing, but in everything. Notice the exhaustive nature of this. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Here's this challenge. Here's how you access the peace of God. Here's how you get tapped into that peace of God which passeth all understanding. It starts with prayer. And he challenges us. He says, in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. I really appreciate Pastor Townsley, the emphasis of this year about prayer. And I really appreciate, at first Sunday he preached on prayer. It was a snow day, actually. It was snowing, if you remember outside. That was a day I wasn't really sick, but my voice was terrible sounding, and I taught Sunday school, filled in teaching Sunday school, and sounded terrible, and it was snowing outside. And after the Sunday school, Pastor Townley said, maybe you shouldn't be here. Maybe you sound... So I kind of got in the plow truck and tried to help, you know, keep things open. And I was listening to the message online on the internet. I appreciated just the way he was preaching about prayer and both services that day, and how he just a biblical look at prayer. A lot of times people can give a lot of opinions about prayer, but just a biblical look about prayer. Because you know what? Prayer shouldn't be intimidating to a believer. It should be comforting. Right. And he said here, he said, in everything by prayer and supplication. Now, I'm all for you know, having a time to pray and all, you know, having a prayer closet and all that. They're certainly biblical things you can point to with that. But he's talking about something that's a little more encompassing than just We say, I lay me down to sleep to the Lord once in the evening, and then we move on, or dear Lord, help me through the day, and then move on. He's talking about something more encompassing than that. He says, Christian, I'm challenging you here, in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. You know, could it be that a lot of times we're careful for things because we fail to, or we refuse to, or we forget to go and talk to God about it? You know, there's, you know, again, you can, I remember as a young person reading a book, at least a part of a book, it was on praying Hyde, on John Hyde in prayer, and I'll tell you what, that thing scared me to death because of just seeing his experiences and what he dealt with, and man, I'm thinking, I can't do that. Like, I can't do that. But then as I've grown, hopefully, in the Lord, I've learned that it's not about, you know, matching and trying to attain to some great unattainable feat. You know what it is? It's being willing to talk to your Heavenly Father all day, every day, throughout the day. That's where it starts. So I'm not some great prayer warrior. I tell you what, why don't you just be a person of prayer? He says, in everything by prayer and supplication. You can read things like George Whitefield had this list of disciplines that he instilled in his life, you know, very early on when he was in college. You read those things, think, I'm going to try to match all of those things. How about start here? How about be a person that you find yourself praying constantly throughout the day? You ever, at your workplace, just bow your heart before the Lord and just talk to the Lord and say, Lord, I need your help with this. I'm dealing with something. I've got this meeting. You ever talk to the Lord and ask the Lord to help you with that, with the trivial things of life? Well, Satan likes to convince us that there are certain trivial things that God is not really interested in, because it is through those little loopholes and those little footholds that he introduces anxiousness where there should be peace. You know, most people aren't cumbered about. You think about Martha and Mary. It's not the worst thing in the world. I don't know if the bread was burnt or whatever took place. It's not the worst thing in the world. You know, it wouldn't be the worst thing in the world if the meal that was served was, you know, didn't come out the greatest that any meal had ever come out. It wouldn't be the worst thing in the world if that meal wasn't featured in the magazines of the day as being a winner and being the number one meal served in Bethany on that particular time. That wouldn't have been the worst thing in the world, but she allowed the little things to get her so tangled up that she was encumbered about, that she was careful about many things. That's what happened. And see, Satan, I think he loves to convince us that somehow we don't need God, or God's not interested in the little things. But Paul challenges us this way. He says, in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. And what is it right now that introduces carefulness to you? And how can you pray to God and talk to him about it? And he gives us a pattern. He says, in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And I think there's, you know, this is more than just a categorization of things. You know, he tells us this. He says, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. That's what he tells us in Scripture. So I don't think he's thinking here necessarily, I don't think it's necessarily, you know, prayer and supplication. So you've got this anxiety-inducing thing, this carefulness-inducing thing, this worrying thing that encroaches upon us. I don't think he's thinking, all right, there's the situation. Now go over here and list all of the things that you can be thankful for, all right? You know, I'm worried about, I don't know, this test that I got to take tomorrow. So I'm going to thank him for my mom and my dad and my sister and my brother. And, well, listen, that's great. But why not find ways to be thankful even in the thing that you're careful about? Lord, thank you for this opportunity that you've given me that a lot of people don't have. Lord, thank you for entrusting me with this burden. That, you know, there's ways, and I, There's ways that only the Holy Spirit can take and apply, but you understand what I'm saying? It's not the thankfulness has to run parallel to what's happening. It's the realization that in everything give thanks. That not necessarily every event is something that I am glad about or joyful about, but that in everything there is something to be thankful for. You know, that changes how we see situations, doesn't it? And this is the challenge that he gives us. He says, in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Listen, do you talk to God regularly throughout the day, especially about the things that might bring you worry and might cause you to fret and might cause you to be careful or cumbered about or however you might? Do you talk to him regularly throughout the day? That's what he challenges us to do. He says, in everything. Amen. And then I want you to notice his final command here, because it all works together. This is how I think praying that way gives us access to the peace of God. But then what he's about to give us here helps us to maintain it. Look at verse 8. He says, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, and he says this, think on these things. Why does he say that? Because we think about the wrong things. Or, more importantly, we think about things the wrong way. And that opens up the door to that carefulness that he talks about. And that's where the peace of God starts to dissipate that we have a right to as a child of God. And we have, or I should say, we have access to as a child of God. And then he goes on to verse 9. He says, those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me do, and the God of peace shall be with you. You know, the Lord, our Creator, knows us better than anyone knows us. And he knows every part of us better than anyone knows us. And he knows and he understands the power of how we think better than anyone can ever know. And Pastor Townsley preached, talked about some of this on Sunday. You're not talking about the power of positive thinking. You're not talking about that. We're just talking about thinking in a way that is pleasing to the Lord about what is happening and what is going on in our life that might bring us carefulness or might bring us being cumbered about, thinking about those things the right way. He knows how we are. And you know, he gives a list here. And you know, there's kind of Sunday school ways that we are made to think. Like you say, well, what should you think about? Well, we should think about the Bible. Well, that's true, but you know, If that were possible, now follow me here, but if that were possible, you know what he would say in verse number 8? Finally, brethren, think only about the Bible. But he knows life is full of things that we have to deal with. And you see, the Bible teaches us how to think about things. The Bible teaches us what is lovely. It teaches us what is honest. It teaches us what is true. It teaches us what's just and what's pure and what's of good report. The Bible teaches us all of those things so that when we are dealing with whatever situation or whatever event or whatever in the future, and it is usually the future that gets us all worked up because we're afraid of how it might turn out. We're afraid of it might not be the conclusion that we want it to be, and it's the future that gets us all worked up. He tells us how to think properly about all of those things. You know, the mind's very powerful. He tells us in Romans chapter number 12, says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, and be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by, he says, the renewing of your mind. That's why it's important to stay close to him. That's why it's important to stay in his word. Why? Because his word renews our mind. His word, when our mind gets venturing off into a direction that it shouldn't be about a circumstance or a situation or about a person, You know, we get to thinking about people, don't we? About what they do. Why do they do that? How do they act? And we can go down a road there that causes us to get cumbered about and roiled and become careful of these things. And he tells us how to think and how we should think, and we need to renew our mind. Why? Because it's through the door of our mind that Satan will rob us of the peace that he has made available to us and will replace it with carefulness every single time. So that's his command. He said, think the right way. Say, well, you know, I'm careful. Well, there's two things that need to happen. Learn to go to God with it in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. That's the great picture we see in Mary and Martha. Why was Mary not roiling while Martha was? She was sitting at the feet of Jesus. She was in the very presence of peace. There was no carefulness there. She was in the very realm of that which was peaceful, and that was she was in the very personification of the peace of God which passeth all understanding. The very personification of that was sitting right before her. And Martha, on the other hand, was ignoring it. She was thinking wrong about that. They had the same scenario, the same situation. One thinking right about it, one thinking wrong. So what should we do? Start by praying. Say, I'm in the middle of it right now. Go to the Lord with it. Learn to pray about it. Prayer and supplication, couple it with thanksgiving. And in doing so, what you're doing is you are unburdening it to him. You ever have a situation where you just needed to call somebody? You felt like, I just need to talk to somebody and tell them about it. Well, that's not a bad thing. The Lord, there's good things in counselors and helpful people and all, but the greatest thing you could do is go to the Lord and talk to him about it. Amen. He's the one who's our high priest, which the Bible says has been touched with the feeling of our infirmities. He was tempted in all points, like as we are, yet without sin. Now, I don't think I can fully grasp what all that entails and what all that means. But I can see glimpses of it in the Scripture. I can see glimpses of the things that he suffered and the things that he dealt with and understand, wow, when I talk to him, he understands like no one else can possibly understand. And so that type of prayer is an unburdening where we leave it with him. So talk to him about it and then leave it with him. And let him replace the burden with the peace of God that passeth all understanding. Amen. And then you get done with that praying and you start thinking the right way. Whatsoever things are good, whatsoever things, start thinking about what's happening, thinking about it in the right way, continually surrendering it. You know, when we're thinking the right way, we're probably going to be thinking in a mode of continual surrender. That kind of fiery dart comes flying back in. And it's there. The shield of faith goes up. Lord, I'm just giving it back to you. I've already given it to you. I'm giving it back to you. Satan tries to bring it back up. Lord, I'm just giving it back to you. When we're thinking the right way, we're thinking in a way of continual surrender. That, Lord, it's yours. I'm leaving it at your feet. And I've entrusted you with this. And I'm not going to pick it back up. I'm going to leave it with you and continue to dwell in the peace of God that passeth all understanding, knowing that the God of peace, as he says in verse number 9, is right with me every step of the way. Saved person, listen. You don't have to live in that carefulness that he's speaking about. Our soul is anchored in the haven of rest. We're anchored behind the veil in the Lord Jesus Christ. There's nothing that can shake. There's nothing that can move you from that. Turn it to him and let him give you that peace. Lord, thank you for...